Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
We have a special message this morning for Mother's Day, but I believe it's going to minister to everybody and encourage everybody this morning. It is titled, Be Encouraged, Be Encouraged. And of course, it is Mother's Day, so we have to talk about Mother's Day as well. And did you know that Mother's Day is the third most popular holiday in the world, only behind Christmas and Easter? Amen. And they say that over 122 million phone calls to mom are made every Mother's Day. So if you haven't called mom yet, better jump on the phone today after service and give her a call. Amen. And approximately $14 billion is spent to celebrate Mother's Day each year. So if you didn't get a gift for mom yet, better pick one up before you leave, or not before you leave, after you leave. Amen. But we do want to wish once again every mother a happy Mother's Day to all mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, and those who are like mothers to others. Amen. Because there's a lot of people that serve as surrogate mothers and substitute mothers and second mothers. And so we want to say happy Mother's Day to you as well. You know, but despite the popularity of Mother's Day and all the gifts and phone calls, Mother's Day can also be a day of mixed emotions, right? Maybe you've lost your mother, or maybe you're a mother who's lost a child. This is a difficult Mother's Day for me because my mother is in the transition of dying. So it's very difficult for me right now. And this morning as I gave her Mother's Day card and told her how much I loved her, she said, please don't forget me when I'm gone. And I told her there's no way that could ever happen. But it's a day of mixed emotions, you know. Maybe you had a difficult childhood or a strained relationship with your mother. There are some who were never able to have children despite your desire to do so. Maybe you're a single mother and sometimes you just feel overwhelmed. Maybe you're a mother who struggles with guilt, feeling as if you failed as a mother, or maybe you didn't do a good job. Maybe you're a forgotten mother whose children and grandchildren rarely call or visit except for maybe such a day like Mother's Day. But for the most part, you find yourself alone. Not every family is the picture-perfect Hallmark card family. And for some, this day of celebration is a difficult day. And if that's you, our heart goes out to you, and we are praying God's comfort, that God would surround you with his love today. So for those who Mother's Day is difficult, may God's presence be just so very real to you today. And if you were raised in a warm, loving, godly family with a godly mother, a loving mother, it's surely a reason to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. And you should let her know every day that you are able, that you appreciate her. Because all of us have been impacted by mothers for good or for bad, because all of us have had a mother, are a mother, or are married to a mother. So in some way, we've all been touched by mothers. So this morning, I want to share a message that I believe will be an encouragement for mothers and parents in general, and for all of us, whether mothers or not. I believe this message will be an encouragement for all of us. We're going to look at two mothers from Scripture this morning, Mary and Elizabeth. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 5 through 7 in just a moment, and then down to verses 13 through 15. The Scripture says, Zechariah, he was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. And then as we skip down to verses 13 and 15, Zechariah is ministering in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." What prayer? They're old. Maybe they prayed this prayer when they were in their 20s or in their 30s, but be encouraged because God hears your prayers. Amen. And so it says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." And soon after that, God honored his word, and Elizabeth became pregnant, and she praised God. Down in verse 25, she says, "How kind the Lord is! He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." So Elizabeth's miracle child was a great blessing to them personally, but he would be a great blessing to the kingdom of God because he would become a prophet, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Amen? And right next to her story in scripture, we find the story of her cousin Mary, a young unmarried virgin girl who was also visited by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel was very busy during that season, amen? And he brings her a surprising message down in verses 30 and 35. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." You know, as we think of these two mothers, they were both incredible vessels of God's miraculous power and grace. But they were also human beings. They experienced pain, they experienced fear, disappointment, grief, as we all do. But in their case, they would both endure a heavy dose of painful experiences. These two mothers may have both experienced a miraculous birth because both of them were miraculously blessed by God to have a child. But after the birth of their children, despite the fact that the birth was miraculous, they still had to do all of those common everyday things that a mother has to do every single day. Amen? Amen. God didn't come down miraculously and change diapers for them. They still had to do all of that stuff. They had to cook. They had to wash their clothes. They had to help their kids with homework. They had to tend to scrape knees and comfort them in times of disappointment and hurt, and all the things that mothers do selflessly. And the story of their lives teaches us several principles that I believe encourages us all, but it holds special encouragement for those who are mothers or grandmothers or those who are like mothers. The first principle it teaches mothers and all of us, don't compare yourself to others. Amen. Don't compare yourself to others. We have a tendency to compare ourselves. And if you don't feel like you measure up in your own mind or that you don't meet the expectation of others, then you might feel inadequate or you might feel like you are a failure. But God doesn't want you to compare yourself with anybody else. Be encouraged because God has chosen you.
Amen.
Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. They were godly women who both experienced a miraculous pregnancy, but they couldn't have been more different in so many ways. Mary was a teenager who experienced an unexpected miraculous pregnancy that almost caused her to lose her fiancé and could have jeopardized her life. Elizabeth was 88 years old and never thought she would conceive when God unexpectedly answered a prayer that was probably decades old. It was probably a prayer that they had been praying when they were young, as a young couple wanting children, but now they're old. They had probably forgotten about that prayer. And who in their old age wants to be changing diapers? But God heard, and he remembered their prayer. Mary was born into a poor family from the insignificant town of Nazareth, and she married a carpenter. Elizabeth was from a priestly family, and she married a priest. And the priesthood was the wealthiest and most powerful class socially and politically in Israel. So you have one living in poverty, and the other one in wealth. But despite their differences, God chose each one of them to be mothers for his special purpose. Why? Because both of them found favor with God. Both of them found favor with God. And he chose Elizabeth to be the mother of John the Baptist, and he chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Do you know what the word favor means? It says they found favor with God. Do you know what the word favor means? We also use the word grace, right? The undeserved favor or the unmerited love and goodness of God. We don't deserve it. But God, in His grace and His love, He blesses us in so many ways. Amen? And in His grace, He chose Mary and He chose Elizabeth by His will for a special honor and task. And by God's grace, He has chosen each and every one of us, amen, for a special task in His kingdom. And the number one task, if you're a parent, your number one task in His kingdom is to raise up your children to worship and to honor the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's your number one task. Now, for every one of us, He also has a ministry. He has a calling for every one of us. And that is the grace of God. It's the favor of God. What a privilege that God would want to use us in His kingdom. Amen? And like Mary, we need to make ourselves available and say, "Here I am, God, do with me as You will." That was Mary's response, right? And that's how we need to respond to God as well. Praise the Lord. But He not only chose Mary and Elizabeth to be vehicles to bring children into the world, but for the spiritual impact that they would have on raising these children to fulfill their God-given purpose. And He also chose Mary and Elizabeth because of the testimony of their life. He chose them because of their godliness. He chose them because of their faith. And that's what God wants in our lives as well, especially in our homes. He wants us to be examples of godliness. He wants us to live lives of faith before our children's eyes, because that's going to make more of an impact on them than anything else. Amen? Is the example that you set in the home. And so God wants you to live a life of godliness, a life of faith, a life of faithfulness before your children's eyes, not just on Sunday morning, but when you're at home as well. But just like Mary and Elizabeth found favor with God, we have all found favor with God. Why do I know that? Because it says, by grace are you saved. Amen. You have been a recipient of God's favor, of God's grace, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And all of us who are saved by grace are called to be vehicles, just like Mary and Elizabeth were called to be vehicles to bring those that would proclaim the message of Christ into the world. We are all called to be vehicles to bring the message of Jesus to the world. And to be a living testimony to the world today. Amen? But as today is Mother's Day, I want to remind mothers that when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel inadequate, when you feel like a failure, you were chosen by God to be the mother of the children that He gave you. Amen? And that is a sacred trust that God has placed in your hands. And when you feel inadequate, when you feel weak, when you feel overwhelmed, God will give you the grace that you need. As you trust in Him, He will give you the grace that is sufficient to be the mother He's called you to be as you trust and seek Him. He will give you the grace to endure as they grow up and as they go out on their own. And He will give you the grace to endure the many heartaches that you will see your children go through. Remember, Elizabeth had to watch her son be beheaded. Mary had to watch her son hang on the cross and give his life as a sacrifice. Amen. God will give you the grace, because sometimes our children will go through hard times. Amen. And we may even lose a son or daughter, God forbid, but God will give you the grace through those seasons. Amen. Both Elizabeth and Mary had to endure the heartache that both their sons would suffer rejection, persecution, and eventually execution. And though that will not be likely, and I pray to God that none of that will happen to any of you that have children, God's grace will be sufficient for you no matter what you go through. God will give you the grace to endure. He'll give you the grace to stand with them. He'll give you the grace to pray for them. He'll give you the grace to support them. And He'll give you the grace to go through the inevitable hardships. Be encouraged, because God chose you specifically to be your children's mother. Because as you trust in God and walk in His ways, He knew that you would be exactly the mother that your children would need. Amen. I also want you to be encouraged, because you don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
You don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
That's That's what favor and grace is all about. Amen.
Amen.
God saved us by his grace. And the truth is, we are all sinners.
Yeah.
And even though we're saved, we still blow it sometimes. Amen.
Right,
but God still gives grace. Amen. He still loves us. We are all imperfect. It's by God's grace alone that we can be forgiven, that we can be made a child of God, and that he supplies what we need every single day to live a life that's faithful to him and to do all that he has called us to do. And we all fall short. Turn to your neighbor and say, we all fall short. Even as children of God, we fall short.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
And as mothers, we may fall short. Amen?
Amen.
God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, and she wasn't perfect. There was one occasion when her son was about 12 years old that they went to church. Actually, they went to the temple to worship God. And on their way back home, she lost her son. And it was a whole day before she realized her son wasn't with him. And it took them 3 days to find her son. Boy, today that would be a sure way to have DCF come in and take your kids away from you. Amen? But you know what? Mary had 4 other boys younger than Jesus. Her hands were full. They had traveled hundreds of miles. She probably thought, you know, Jesus was the oldest. He was 12 years old, that he would have enough good sense to stick with them. And you know what it's like traveling with kids, amen?
Amen.
And not easy, especially when you have 4 of them under the age of 12. And so the point is that Mary was not perfect, all right? And God does not choose us, and God does not use us because we're perfect. He chooses us and uses us because of his grace, because of his grace. So God doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And as we do, he perfects us. He changes us. Amen. Mary was not a super saint. She was just an ordinary, imperfect woman struggling to serve God the best she could. And God chose her to be the mother of his son with all of her imperfections, shortcomings, and weaknesses. Aren't you glad that we don't have to be perfect for God? That he can choose us and he can use us with all of our shortcomings. Amen. So mothers, the same way that God gives you grace, give yourself some grace. Give yourself the grace of knowing that you don't have to be perfect and God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're struggling with guilt that you feel in some way that you failed, trust that God's grace is greater than any mistakes or shortcomings that you may have had or that you currently have as a mother. Because I know I speak with mothers all the time, and they often carry this sense of guilt that they're not doing enough, that they're not doing a good enough job with their kids. Have grace with yourself. God has grace towards you. Amen. You don't have to be perfect. And then encourage one another. Being a parent, especially today, is hard. And being a Christian parent, trying to raise godly children who will love and serve the Lord, is even more difficult today in the midst of this godless and evil culture in which we live. So we need all the more to encourage one another.
Amen.
We need all the more to encourage one another. Soon after Mary's angelic visitation, do you know what she did? She went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She made an 81-mile journey to Hebron to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Both of these women were about to become mothers as a result of a miracle of God, and both were destined to become mothers of sons who would play vital roles in God's kingdom purpose. And who else would believe that although she was a virgin, she got visited by an angel and the Holy Spirit came on her and she conceived a child? Who else would believe that? Except for an old woman who had been barren her whole life and the Holy Spirit showed up and she got pregnant. See, that's why, church, we need each other.
Yes, that's good.
We need each other as godly people and And as godly parents, we need each other to encourage and support one another, because you're not going to find anybody out there in the world that understands your commitment to Christ, that understands what it means to live a godly life in a godless culture. You're not going to find anybody who understands the struggles that you face as a parent raising godly children in the present day culture. No, because in the world, they just go with the flow. That's why we need each other. It's why we need the church. It's not why we need the fellowship of the saints. Amen?
Amen.
And as soon as Mary greets Elizabeth, the baby within her, John the Baptist, who he would become, the baby within her leapt. And the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to preach you a little bit extra sermon this morning.
Ooh, go ahead.
A piece of tissue in the womb cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Go there.
Are you getting me? Yeah. That was a baby in the womb. Yeah. Don't let the liberal philosophies of this world tell you that it's just a piece of tissue in the womb. It is a living being that God can have a relationship and can fill with the Holy Spirit. Amen. What would have happened if Elizabeth had said, "Oh, I'm old. I don't want to hassle with a kid at this age. I should just have an abortion." What would have happened if Mary had said, "I'm just a teenager and I don't have the support of my family and community because they think that I messed around and got pregnant, so I'm just going to have an abortion"? What would have happened? Come on now, folks. This is an extra sermon, no extra charge. But as Christians, we need to know biblically how to think about the issues that are present in the world. Amen. So the baby in Elizabeth's womb was filled with the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, "Well, what about women's rights?" You have a right. Choose to keep yourself pure and not have sex, or choose to use protection. You have a right. But that baby also has a right. Amen. I could preach on that, but that's not today's message. Amen. Love and grace to anybody who has had an abortion. God's grace towards you. God's love towards you. And may God heal the hurts of your heart that are a result of that. So I'm not preaching condemnation towards anybody this morning, but I'm teaching you what the Bible says. Amen. I'm teaching you what the Bible says. So the baby was filled in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth celebrated with Mary, saying, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is." But immediately Elizabeth understood the calling and the destiny of Mary and the child that she was carrying. And what happened? They were able to encourage one another. They were able to support one another. Amen. And today, as parents, as mothers, as Christians, it's so important to surround yourself with other godly people. It's so important as parents to surround yourself with other godly parents who will help to encourage you and support you as you endeavor to raise your children to know and honor God.
Amen.
And I want to throw out a little statistic at you today. 75% of children who reach the age of 18 stop following Christ and going to church.
Yes.
But that percentage is greatly decreased if they have a relationship with three other adults in the church.
Amen, amen.
You know, like a relationship with a Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor or pastor or some other faithful man or woman of God that has been there for them. But that can't happen if we don't bring our kids out regularly to church.
Amen. Amen.
Let me just say that one more time.
Amen.
That can't happen unless we bring our kids out regularly to church. Amen.
Amen.
I was just hearing on the news the other day, they were doing a research on the learning deficit that occurred during 2020 when kids were not able to be in person in schools, and it was a tremendous percentage of deficit that was there. They just said that, you know, the online learning was just not the same for kids as in person. Let me tell you something, if that's true of education, it's even more so true of the spiritual life of our children.
Amen.
We need to have them in the house of the Lord. So it's important to surround ourselves with other godly people and godly parents, and it's important to partner together with the church to bring our children up in the ways of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
A second principle we see, the first one, don't compare yourself to others. Second one, trust God. Trust God because he's faithful. Both Mary and Elizabeth had to trust God to help them be the best mother they could be to the sons that had been entrusted to them. Pray and trust God to be your sufficiency as a parent. You may not always know what to do or what to say. In fact, I can guarantee you, there's going to be a lot of times you don't know what to do or what to say. But God promises, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it freely. Yes. Amen? So if you lack wisdom, pray. And say, God, I don't know how to deal with this situation with my child. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And let God give you the guidance, the wisdom that you can, he wants you to have to be the parent he calls you to be. You may feel inadequate at times, but God promises in his word that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect and his grace will be sufficient for us. You may feel at times that you don't have the strength, but God promises that if we seek him, he will renew our strength. And when your kids are acting up, your teen is taking a path that you know is destructive, or your adult son or daughter is going through a trial that just breaks your heart, God promises, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. And you shall not be drowned, and you shall not burn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust that God is with you. When you feel alone, trust that he promises he will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with you. God will help you. Whatever you face, all you have to do is pray. All you have to do is call upon his name and trust him. Amen. Parent, mother, he trusted you with that child, and he wants to be there for you and help you to be the best parent that you can be to your child. Amen. Praise the Lord. So trust God and pray, and trust your children to God. You can't be with your kids 24/7.
That's right.
There's so much of their life that is going to be spent, even as children, that is going to be spent away from you. There's so much of their life that's going to be spent in school, in sports, with friends, or with adults away from you. But you, even though you can't be there to watch over them, you can always trust God to be there to watch. That's why you need to pray over your kids every single day. Make it a habit before they leave the house in the morning that you pray over them. Don't just pray privately in your closet. You need to do that too. But let them hear you praying over them. Say, hey, before you go out for the bus, we're going to pray. And make it a habit every day. Pray over them. God's covering protection, that God's grace will be with them, that he will keep them from every evil influence, that he would surround them with his grace. Amen. Pray over them every single day. Because when you can't be there, God can. God can. Amen. You can always trust God to watch over them. So pray over them every day. Pray every day also that they might come to know God and have a personal relationship with him. From the time that they're young, that they would come to know God in a real and living way, so that they will not make the mistakes that can damage their life by not knowing God and by not serving God. Ask God to cover him with their protection, to help them make the right choices every day, to convict them, that the Holy Spirit would convict them if they even think of stepping to the left or to the right out of God's will for them. The Holy Spirit would be right there to convict them, and that he would guard them from all evil influences. Pray every day and trust God that he loves them more than you could ever love your child. Trust what God says in his word. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And that's got to start young. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And what will happen? When he is grown, he will not depart from it. So you got to lay that foundation from the time that they are young all the way up through their teen years. And let me tell you something. If you lay that solid foundation, there may be a phase where they drift away, but that foundation will be there and it will keep pulling them back. Amen. As I close, a little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation, and his mother was in the front row to prompt him. And so she gestured, and she would form the words silently with her lips. But it didn't help him. Her son's memory was blank. He had gotten so nervous, he forgot everything. So finally, she leaned in close to the platform, and she whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." Suddenly the child beamed. He started to smile, and with a confident, clear voice he said, "My mother is the light of the world." Mothers, you are the light of the world to your children.
Amen.
And you are called to be the light of the world as well. But your children will look to you to love them, to help them, to support them, and to lead them to Christ. And mothers, we thank all of you who do that tirelessly on a day-to-day basis. We love you and we honor you. And we know that your job is not easy, but God chose you and God will be sufficient for you. He promises that you can go to him when you feel discouraged, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel weak, when you need wisdom, when you feel alone, when you're worried, and he will always be there for you to love you, to support you, to help you, and to guide you. He has promised he will always be with you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the first step to be the mother or the parent that God has called you to be, and the first step to having God's help, even if we're not a parent, to having that promise of God's help and guidance and support in our life, is that we give our heart to Christ. You see, the Bible says that we are all sinners and we have all fallen short of God's standard of holiness. That's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth. It's the whole reason that he gave his life on the cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. So that when we turn to him in faith as our Savior and we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction. We've been doing life our way, and it leads to destruction.
Yes.
And we make a U-turn. Aren't you glad God allows U-turns? Amen.
Yes.
We make a U-turn and we say, "Forgive me, God. I don't want to live that way anymore. I give my life to you." And when we do that, the moment we do that, the Bible says we're born again. We're made new. Our sins are forgiven and we become a child of God. Amen. And it's the beginning of a wonderful lifelong relationship with him, where we can count on his love, we can count on his grace, we can count on his support and his sufficiency. And if you're here today, or you're listening online and you have never repented of your sins and given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did it some time ago and you've drifted away and you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart saying it's time to come back, I want to encourage you to pray with me. I'm just going to lead us in a simple prayer. My words are not special. I just want to help you to know how to pray. So if you would you just pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I turn to you in faith. And I invite you to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If you just made that decision, if you just prayed that prayer, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. Amen. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. As the worship team comes back up, you that just prayed that prayer with us, whether in-house or online, we want to help you to understand that that prayer was not an ending, it was a beginning. And we want to help you to know the next steps that you can take to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And so we ask you right now that if you're in-house, if we could have that text screen up for the altar call, we're going to ask you to text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. And if you're online, type "I prayed" in the comments. Why? Because a little bit later today, we're going to send you a message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you free of charge a little e-booklet that will help you understand the next steps to take to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So we want to send this to you free of charge. So if you would right now, if you prayed that prayer and you're in-house, just type "I prayed" and text it to the number on the screen, or online, type "I prayed" in the comments, and check a little bit later today for a message. Click on the link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this book free of charge. Until then, three things I want to encourage you that just prayed and every Christian to do every day so we can grow in our relationship with God. One, pray every day. That's talking to God. It's simply talking to God. That's what prayer is. Start by thanking him for the good things in your life, because the Bible tells us every good thing comes from him. So thank him for health and strength and your job and your family and every blessing that you have. And then talk to him about whatever you're facing in your life, problems, difficulties, decisions, and ask his help. That's prayer. Just start by talking to God every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way he talks to us is through the Bible, his word. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app free on your phone or tablet. There's never a charge. You can read as much as you want. Start reading in 1 John. It's a short little book in the New Testament. It tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us, what salvation is about. Just read a few verses every day, and before you start reading, ask God to help you understand what you're reading and put it in practice in your life. What you don't understand, put it to the side for now. When you need to understand it, God will help you. But what you do understand, pray that God will help you to put it in practice in your life. And then thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, of course, we welcome you to be a part of our church family. New Life is a wonderful, loving church family, and we would love to walk alongside of you and help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So, of course, we welcome you here. If you're out of the area, then we encourage you to get connected to a local Assembly of God near you and put down some deep roots so that you can continue to grow in the Lord. But once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. We love you. Amen. And now I want to talk to all the moms and dads out there who have given your heart to Christ. God chose you for the task of raising your kids to love and serve him so that they can fulfill the calling and purpose he has for them. God knows that being a parent is not easy, but he has promised to be our sufficiency in all things. Amen.
Amen.
I want to pray for mothers and fathers today who may need to be encouraged. And I want to challenge you as parents to commit or recommit yourself to being a godly parent, to being the parent God has called you to be, to raise your children in the ways of the Lord and teach them from early what it means to love and to serve the Lord. And I also want to pray for those mothers today that may be struggling with a broken heart because you've lost a child, or maybe you're struggling because you've lost a mother recently. We want to pray for you as well. So if you fit in any of those categories, you're a mother or father, you want to recommit yourself to raising godly children, to trusting God to help you as a parent, or you are a mother who has lost a child particularly recently and you're struggling, or you are someone who has lost a mother recently, we want to pray for you. If you fit any of those categories, would you stand to your feet right where you are. We want to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these that are standing right now. I thank you that you know their heart, Lord. I thank you for those parents that are standing today to say, I commit or I recommit myself to you, Lord, to be the parent that you are calling me to be, to raise my child in godliness and in faith, Lord, that I might be a bright and shining example before them and that I might teach them your ways from the time that they're young. Lord, we commit ourselves to this and we ask the help of your Holy Spirit because it's not easy. But you promised you would be sufficient. So help these parents, Lord, in this all-important task of raising their children to love and serve you. Father, I pray right now for those mothers whose hearts are heavy because they're grieving the loss of a son or daughter. And I pray that you would just minister your comfort to them right now, Lord God, that their hearts would be encouraged in you, Lord God. And Father, I pray for those. We have some right here in our church family who have recently lost their mothers. I pray for them right now that you would surround them with your love and with your grace, that you would hold them in the embrace of your love, Lord God, and that you would minister to their hearts this morning, Lord. Father, we place them in your hands and we believe you to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together as we close out our service.
Great is thy God. Sing with me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship and exalt you, Lord. You are indeed great, Lord, and we are so very grateful, Lord, for your love, for your presence, and for your daily help in our lives, Lord. Father, we pray your blessing upon your people today, Lord God, as they leave from this place. May your word and your spirit continue to minister to their hearts, Lord God, and bring rest and restoration to them, and bless every family gathering with your joy and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We love you, New Life family. Thank you for coming. God bless you, and have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Be back next Sunday as we continue our series, The Chase, pursuing a deeper relationship with God. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.